Holy Spirit to those who ask him. Amen. Let's pray. Let's pray. Father, in the name of Jesus Christ, we thank you, Lord, for your word. And Lord, because you've given us a mind, we pray, God, that you would help us to receive your word today. Because, Lord, you've given us a will, help us, Lord, today to receive this word. Follow it. Lord, we do honor you and we thank you, Lord, and we pray today, Lord, that you would give us the strength to comprehend this word.
Yes, Lord.
That we might live out our lives to bring you glory. Father, yes, I've studied, but I do need your strength, Lord. And yes, Lord, I have prepared, but I need your power. Speak now, Lord, as only you can, that we might not just be hearers of your word today, but that we would do what this word says.
Yes.
Father, we do bless you and we thank you, God, for your spirit. Now fill me, God, with your spirit, that everything that is said and done, God, would bring you glory. Father, we thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. 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 Let's give the Lord some praise. Amen. You all may be seated. Hallelujah.
Amen.
I really do believe by faith. And I've come to understand as a Christian that God really does want to provide for us.
Amen.
And so I want to preach for a little while from a message entitled, I Am Your Provision. I am your provision. What is it this morning that you are in need of? What is it that you need God to do specifically? Not generally, but what is it that you are asking God to do for you in prayer? And you're believing him to do it because you know that he is our provision.
Amen.
Now, I want you to understand something, that God provides, or God's provision can be associated with many things that God does for us. If you walked in here on your own today, guess what? That's a provision from God. If you, when your alarm clock went off, or whether you got up on your own and you took a deep breath, or you breathed all night long, that's a provision from God. If you're blessed enough to have retired from something, that's still your provision from God. If you have a job, that is your provision from God. So we have to understand that there's nothing that we have that God has not provided for. You ought to shout amen right there.
Amen, amen.
And so as Christians, what we've got to understand is that the ultimate provision of God that God has promised to us is when we accepted the Lord Jesus Christ as our Savior. That's the first provision that we receive from the Lord that really puts us in a position to be able to receive everything that God has for us.
Yeah.
But I want you to know something this morning, that God's provision for us is extended not just to us spiritually, but also in a natural sense. Because God understands, I believe God understands that there is a great spiritual need that he has to provide for us.
Yeah. Amen.
But he said in his word that if you see someone naked, give them clothing.
Amen.
He said, if you see someone thirsty, give them something to drink. He said, if you see somebody hungry, he said, give them food. And so even though we understand as believers that there is a spiritual provision that really outweighs the natural provision, but we cannot lose sight of that God still wants to provide some natural things for us.
Yeah.
So we come to understand that God's provision for us extends itself beyond our spiritual provision. And you may say, why, Pastor? So that we will live out our lives to give him glory. and that we might understand that the spirit that God has given us is being given to us out of a nature of God's generosity. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. God has given us so much love that we're able to bask in salvation and walk in salvation. But God is also, if you look back over your life, God has also been generous to us. And I'm talking about being generous to us, and you ain't even worth, listen, you ain't even worthy. We're not worthy of what he's been generous to us. I mean, the fact that we can live our lives and sometimes not obey God's will or obey God's word, but God never takes his hand off of what he owns.
Amen.
So I want you to understand this morning, whatever your need is this morning, whatever you need God to provide for you this morning, I want you to understand something, that God is a promise keeper. Hallelujah. Whatever God has said he's going to do in his word, I'm telling you that God is a promise keeper. God has promised to give us whatever we ask him for. But here's the thing we've got to understand, that we've got to ask him in faith. You and I have not only the goodness of God operating in our lives, but we also, as believers, we have the nature of God. That's what Jesus is talking about. We have the nature of God in us, so we can take comfort in the mighty power of what God can do. That's why, and you've heard me say this before, that's why believers ought not ever get depressed. We do. We do. That's why believers ought not ever worry. We do. Believers ought not ever get anxious, but we do, because the reality of it is that when we understand that God is our provider, then God provides what we need. And I'm telling you, he can provide what we need with one job, and you can work 10 jobs and still not be able. The Bible says that the more we get, sometimes the more we want. And so in the text, turn to somebody and say, he's my provision. In the text, Jesus shares two important things to help raise the expectation of believers to always trust in God to provide. And understand what I'm saying, because God is our heavenly Father. And I want you to get this morning, because God has obligated himself to provide for us.
Thank you, Lord.
I want you to grab hold of that.
Thank you, Father.
That he has made himself, I said on Wednesday night at Bible study prayer service, he is the all-inclusive God. And I don't know if you've ever been to an all-inclusive anywhere, anything, but when you walk into a thing or a trip that is all-inclusive, the only thing you got to do is show up. Amen, somebody. Because all-inclusive means that the moment you walk on the resort, the moment you get on the bus, the moment you get on the boat, that everything that they've promised to you is provided to you, and the only thing you got to do is show up. All-inclusive God. All-inclusive God. And so Jesus in the text, at the beginning of Luke chapter 11, Jesus is teaching the disciples about praying in faith to receive God the Father, or to receive the blessing of God. And you all know the Lord's Prayer: Thou Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done. We know that. And so Jesus is teaching them a model prayer. Sometimes folks say, well, you know, he's teaching them the Lord's Prayer. Well, this is not the Lord's Prayer. We call it the Lord's Prayer, but it's a model prayer that Jesus is teaching the disciples so that they can understand how to make the connection with God and how to call on the name of the Lord so that they open themselves up to receive from God, because we play a role and responsibility in what we've got to do in order for God to bless us. You all heard me say it before. God is not willy-nilly throwing blessings around. And you got to be careful because we play a role in God blessing us, because God is looking to bless those who are faithful to him. He's looking to bless those who are obedient to him. If you're not obedient to God and you're not faithful to God and you're receiving all these blessings, you better be careful, because the Bible says that the enemy, the devil, can appear as an angel of light.
Yeah.
So God says, I'm your provision.
Yeah.
And so first thing, Jesus begins to talk about in the beginning of Luke chapter 11, about the model prayer and teaching his disciples how to pray. And then in verse 9, he shifts. And he shifts his teaching to instructing them on God being their provision. It's not enough for us to pray to God and to tell God what we need or to petition God for what we want. But Jesus wants the disciples in us as well to understand that when we pray, we have to believe in what we're praying and what we're petitioning God for. And so first thing, God keeps his word of provision when we come to the understanding that God demands a request. Hallelujah. Look at verses 9 and 10 in Luke chapter 11. Thank you, Lord. Jesus says, so I say to you, ask. Turn to somebody and say, ask him for it. See, part of our difficulty in receiving the things of God is we don't ask God for it. And so, but I want us to proceed with a little caution that when you ask God for it, you better have enough faith to believe that God can do it. Don't ask God for anything that you personally don't believe that God can accomplish. And so Jesus says to his disciples, ask and it will. See, I want us to get that this morning, because asking God in faith and believing God for what you're asking him to do, the Bible says, Jesus says, ask and it will be given. He says, seek and you will find. He says, knock. And it will be open. And so God is saying, I know what you are. And Lord, who am I speaking to this morning? God says, I know what you need, but I need you. I'm demanding you to make a request so I can give you what you need. Come on. Now, you know, some of us, when we were growing up, we weren't always in the church. And some of us like going to real nice parties and clubs. And you know, when the DJ said, are there any requests? People would raise their hand to make a request so that he could play what they requested. Listen. God wants us to be in the position of being able to receive from him, but he wants to put us in a place where we have the faith to believe that when we ask him for it, we will receive. And this isn't, let me help somebody. This isn't that name it and claim it stuff where you naming stuff and claiming stuff. Listen, everything belongs to God. And the only one that can give you what you're asking for is the one that really rightfully owns what you're asking for. And so if it is a job, if it is a car, if it is a house, listen, you ask him for it. But here's the thing. God also wants to get some glory out of what he provides for you. See, he says,
amen.
He says, so ask and it will be given.
Yeah.
Then he says in verse 10, look at verse 10. Mm-hmm. See, what we've got to understand is God provides to those who will obey him in everything.
That's right.
Yeah. We don't like to hear that kind of truth, because in today's time, people want it and don't want to put the work in to receive it. And I'm not saying that everything that God does for us, we have to work for, but your faith has to work for it. See, God will, when your faith is at work, God will bless you because what your hands did not do, God will bless you because your faith was working on it. And so God provides for us out of us believing that he's what? Our provision. Some of us got too much hope in our jobs. And I'm telling you, your job is a resource. It's not the source. Some of us get excited about having a whole bunch of money in the bank. And I'm telling you, what the bank is holding really doesn't belong to you. Because if you understand that he is the source of all of my provision, then we get the understanding that because he's the source, then I'm not going to put all my hope in a resource, because I done lost the resource. I'm going to put my hope that when I lose the resource, I still have a source. He's the source of our provision.
Yes, he is.
He's saying to somebody this morning, he said, I'm your provider.
Yes, he is.
I know you're working all kinds of this and all. I know you think you got all kinds of this. But he says, I'm your provision. I'm your provider. And when you understand that I'm your provider, I'm going to meet your family's need. I'm going to meet your personal need. Whatever your need is, whether it is physical or spiritual, God says, I got this.
Yes.
Oh, hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
He says in verse 10, he says in Luke chapter 11, verse 10, he says, for everyone who asks receives, and he who seeks finds, and to him who knocks, it will be opened. Why could Jesus say that? Because he understood that if your hope is in the Lord, then everything you need, he's going to make sure you have it. Come on, is there a witness in here this morning? Have you ever needed something from God and nobody could help you but the Lord? I'm not just talking about a physical need. Have you ever needed something from God and God stepped right into your situation and provided you with what your greatest need was?
Amen.
And the truth is, you didn't have to get up and work and do nothing to receive it.
Hallelujah.
See, we have to understand that God demands from us a request. In other words, what Jesus is saying is God is asking, what do you need? God says, I know what you're in need of, but I want to hear you ask for it. Because when you ask for it, even though I know what you're in need of, if you ask in a place of faith, I'm going to supply that need. Jesus understood that many times God wants to hear the voice of the believer, of his child, so that he can give them what they are petitioning him for.
Amen.
Come on, you look at your own children. And I know, you know, you look at their sneakers and say, you know what? You may never say they need a new pair of sneakers. But if they are in need of something, and you know what they are in need of, isn't it a wonderful feeling when your child comes to you and asks you that they need something, and you knew they needed it, but they still came and asked you that they were in need of it? I'm telling you, that's a powerful gesture, because it lets them know, it lets you know that your child, that your child has faith in that whatever they ask you for, you're going to give it to them in reason. Amen. And so God wants to hear from his children. And you need to know this morning that you are a child of God. If you don't know, now you know that you and God's family. And so why wouldn't God, us being reborn into his spiritual household, why wouldn't God, when we call on him for help or when we call on him out of need, why wouldn't the God who is our heavenly father provide for us what we are in need of, knowing that we're his children?
Yeah.
You ought to turn to somebody and tell them, I'm a child of God.
Yes, I'm a child of God. Thank you, Lord.
Because I'm a child of God, I don't have to beg. Glory to God. I don't have to beg my father. Hallelujah. For good God Almighty. I don't have to beg God for nothing.
Thank
I don't have to spin around and roll on the floor and toss and turn and stand up and sit down and sit there and move there. I don't have to do anything outside of the ordinary except walk by faith and understanding that God is the source of all of my provision. I mean, the fact that you're breathing this morning and that you can stand up on your own two feet is an indication that God is a provider. And we got to be careful that you don't think you're the provider.
Yes. Amen.
I know you smart. I know you hardworking. But let me tell you something. It is the Lord that giveth. And it is the Lord that taketh away. And I believe sometimes God takes some of our stuff away so we can turn back to him, because we were all on his side when we received it. But sometimes I believe God steps in and we blame the devil for God. What God does, God steps in and he removes it so that we can say, Lord, I'm going to trust you more.
Yeah. Amen. Amen.
I love you more than my job. I love you more than the money in the bank. See, because the Bible says that if you become a lover of money, then you have submitted yourself to all kinds of evils. And so that's why we can't love the things that God gives. We got to love the God that gives them, because Job said it is the Lord that giveth.
Yeah.
And it is the Lord that taketh away.
Amen.
So we're reborn into his household. And you can call on your Father, your Heavenly Father, any hour of the night. Isn't that wonderful that you can call on your Heavenly Father any hour of the night? Listen, your earthly father, you could call him and he may be asleep. But you can call your Heavenly Father any time of the night, any time of the day, and no matter where you are, no matter what you're doing. The truth is that he's always making himself, I don't know who this is for, but he's always making himself available to you and I. And so therefore, what we've got to learn is how to make ourselves available to him. There's nothing that I ask my sons to do that they won't do as their father. There's nothing that my wife and I can ask them. Now, sometimes they might move a little slower than we want them to, but the reality of it is they're still moving. Come on, say amen.
Amen.
But there's nothing that we can ask of our children that they won't do for us. And the truth is, God expects the same thing from us. God expects us, because he provides for us. He expects us to worship him. He expects us to give him glory. He expects us to follow, listen to this, to follow what he says, to follow his instructions.
Yeah. Amen.
See?
Amen.
See, we have to understand as children of God that God demands that we make a request to him. We have to understand that we are his children and God wants to, listen, I'm telling you, God wants to take care of you. I'm telling you, there's not a worry on your mind this morning that God doesn't want to take care of. There's not a concern in your heart this morning that God, our Heavenly Father, that God does not want to take care of. I'm telling you, when your earthly fathers, the Bible says, forsake you, the reality of it is that God will never forsake us. And the Bible says, nor will he leave us.
Amen.
And I know you have felt like you've been stranded sometimes. I know you may have felt like you've been left out in the cold, but the reality of it is that God, being our Father, wants to take care of us, but what we've got to do is turn ourselves over to him that he might take care of us.
Amen.
Turn to somebody and say, stop trying to do it yourself. Oh, come on, look at him and tell him, stop trying to fix it yourself. What you're in need of is your Father's help. Hallelujah. What you're in need of is for your Father to step in to your situation. Hallelujah. What you are in need of is to hear your Father's voice speak into your life and speak over your circumstances. What you need is you need the hands of your Father to lift you up and hold you and tell you, listen, it's going to be all right. Why? Because I've already planned all of this into the equation when I created you. I created the hardships. I created the difficulties. And so you understand that even when it gets tough sometimes, I'm still the God that is with you.
Yes, hallelujah.
Because I'm your Father. That's what he says. Because I'm your heavenly Father.
Thank you, Father.
And we have to understand that we're children.
Yes.
And we have to understand that God wants to take care of us and wants to provide it for us. But what Jesus is also saying in verses 9 and 10 is God also wants us to be persistent. Amen. And the persistence is not about God not hearing us. The persistence is about us understanding and developing in our faith that I'm going to keep talking to God. I'm going to keep petitioning God. I'm going to keep asking God that my voice is not going to grow dry, that my spirit is not going to grow weary, that I'm going to keep asking and petitioning God, because as I ask God, I'm communicating to him what my faith wants to say. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Look at verses 5 through 8. Jesus shares a parable. And so he says to his disciples, he says, "Which of you shall have a friend and go to him at midnight and say to him, 'Friend, lend me 3 loaves. For a friend of mine,'" verse 6, "for a friend of mine has come to me on his journey and I have nothing to set before him. And he will answer from within and say, do not trouble me. The door is now shut and my children are with me in bed. I cannot rise and give to you." Then verse 8 says, "I say to you, though he will not rise and give to him because he is his friend, yet because of his persistence, he will rise and give him as many as he needs." You all know what I'm talking about. When our children say, "Mommy, Daddy, can I?" And we say, "No, not right now." Then 5 minutes later, they come back and say, "Mommy, Daddy, remember you said?" And you say, "I remember what I said, but not right now. Just wait a little while longer." And then they wait a little while long and they come right back to you and say, "Mommy, Daddy, is it time yet?" "No, it's not time yet. Just wait." And at some point, as the parent, you understand that, listen, there's a need that my child has. And I've already promised them that I was going to do it. And so when that child comes back the last time and says, "Mommy, Daddy, is it time yet?" You say, listen, well, come on, let's get ready to go. Let's get ready to do what I told you we would do. Why? Because they were persistently asking you something that you had promised them. God is the same way. He says, "I know what you need. And I want to give you what you need. But I want to hear your voice. I want to see your faith." And so you and I, we have to understand that the action of our persistence is more about our committing ourselves to the promise of God's provision.
Amen.
"Lord, you've promised to take care of me. You know, Lord, you've promised to bless my family. Glory to God. I'm believing him for it.
Amen.
You promised, God, to give me strength to get up every morning and go to my job. I'm believing him for it."
Jesus.
And that's why the believer ought not ever complain about it. I don't care how many aches and pains you get up with. If you're walking into employment and you're leaving employment, driving yourself home, and that employment God uses to provide for your family, listen, there are two things that you should always do, because I've said before that the enemy will pay you to not follow the will of God for your life. And so don't get caught up necessarily in the resource and give all your attention to the resource, because reality of it is, if God is my provider, I don't need a job and God will still provide. Is there a witness in here? Because he's a caretaker. And the Bible says that he commits himself to take care of that which belongs to him. Turn to somebody and say, "I belong to him. I belong to him. I belong to him. So that's the guarantee that no matter what my money look like, no matter what my job look like, no matter what's going on in my household, no matter what's going on in the workplace, the reality of it is we can walk with an understanding with a great deal of structure and strength, knowing that if God closes this door, there's another door he gonna open up for me. Why? Because he's my provider. Listen, he'll make somebody walk up to your house and ring your doorbell and give you something that you didn't have. And you look around saying, Lord, well, you know, and we've got to be careful that when the Lord desires to bless us, that we don't deny the blessing.
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, I'm fine. I really don't need it. The devil's a liar. Because anytime somebody does something for you, if you're in here and you're a giver, anytime you do for God, you have to understand, and we're going to talk about that in a minute, that God wants to do for you. And sometimes God will do for you through somebody else where you got to learn how to receive.
Yeah. Yeah. Amen.
Help us, Lord Jesus.
Yes. Amen.
Again, God already knows what you need.
Yes.
And he wants to see your faith. He wants you to express that need. I'm telling you, some of us, our biggest challenge is we don't ask God for nothing. And we talk to God like, Lord, you already know what I need, so just give me what I need. No, 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 it ain't that. If you go to somebody that is trying to do something for you and you talk like that to them, that's not respectful. And so God says, ask me for it. What do you need? Ask me for it. Second thing, glory to God. Look at verses 11 and 12. Now, this is interesting. This is interesting. Because Jesus is talking about really two dynamics about giving good and then the responsibility of giving. And so look at this. Look at this. He says in verse 11, if a son asks for bread from any father among you, will he give him a stone? That's a question. He says, if he asks for a fish, will he give him a serpent instead of a fish? That's another question. And what Jesus is doing is he's balancing the response for others to think about this and to think about it from a godly fatherly perspective and not just from an earthly father's perspective. So he says in verse 12, he says, or if he asks for an egg, Will the earthly father give him a scorpion? I love what he says in verse 13. He says in verse 13, if you then being evil, point to somebody. If you and I then being evil and having a nature to do wrong, he says, if you then being evil know how to give good gifts to your children, I was waiting for somebody to catch that. He says, how much more will your heavenly father give? Now he's targeting the spirit of man. He says, how much more will your heavenly father give you the Holy Spirit to those who ask for him? Now the reality of it is, I want you to understand this. That as Christians, we can do nothing without the nature of God. We can do nothing for God or for the kingdom of God without the nature of God operating in us.
Amen.
And I'm telling you, you can't do it yourself. Well, we have. Let's kill a devil. We've tried to do it ourselves. And if you be honest, I mean really honest, and we've messed it up. And so Jesus is saying the Holy Spirit God gives to you freely so that you can then operate in the wisdom of God. Listen to this. And how you give, because Jesus and God the Father is the example of giving.
Yeah.
Oh, hallelujah.
Amen.
Second thing, God keeps his word of provision when we understand that he is our example of giving. And I'm telling you, I really want you to understand this, because there are no perfect fathers. I want us to get that. And there's some of us who are sitting in here as fathers. If we could go back and rewind time, there are some things that we would have done differently. Now, the truth of the matter is that the Bible says that God works all things together for good for them that who love him and who are the called according to his purpose. So even in our fatherhood, that what may not have been all that we thought it would be, or we didn't do all that we thought we could or should have done, the reality of it is God covers that.
Yeah.
Oh, you ought to shout amen.
Amen.
Because I don't know about you, but in my imperfections, there are things, if I sat back and wrote down and said, listen, I could have done this differently. I could have done that differently. I should have did this that way. I should have did that this way. That if I went back in time, I would have made an adjustment. But here's the adjustment that we have to understand, is that it's not my past that holds me. It's my future of where God is taking me. And so I may not have been a giver back then, but because God has given so much to me that I'm going to give freely. Why? Because he freely gave. Oh, glory to God. Hallelujah. Listen, your stingy self worried about little money you got. Listen, the reality of it is that you could lose your money, but what God has provided for you, you will never lose. Oh, glory to God. I done lost money. We done lost money. We done lost jobs. We done lost houses. We done lost cars. We've had a whole lot of difficulties and challenges. But even when I lost it, I still had Christ. Even when I thought I couldn't make it, I still had Jesus. Even when I made the mistake, I still could get back up knowing that my Father is a forgiving God. And because he knows how to give, then he is my example of giving.
Yeah. Yeah.
Amen. See, your father ain't perfect. Your earthly father ain't perfect. But your heavenly father is.
Amen.
Yeah, your heavenly father is perfect. The Bible says in James chapter 1 verse 17 that every good gift. You mean to tell me there's some bad gifts, God? Yeah, there's some gifts. Because anything that takes your attention and your fellowship away from God, that ain't no good gift. Because God, who is the source of everything that we have, is not going to give us or bless us or provide for us to then take our attention away from him. That's not God. Now, the enemy will do that. The Bible says he'll appear as an angel of light to do what? To deceive the believer. Mm-hmm. And so James says in chapter 1, verse 17, he says every good gift and every perfect gift is from above.
Thank you, Lord.
He said, and comes down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shadow of turn. So what you've got to understand is there's only one version of God. There's only one version of God giving. There's only one version of God blessing. There's only one version of God moving with power. There is no variation. You're not going to get God today and then get God part two tomorrow or God part three the next day. The same God who was with you today, who was with you yesterday. The Bible says he's the same yesterday, today, and forever. Why? Because there's only one, good God of mine, there's only one version of God. So James says there's no variations of God. You can't tell me that God is good and then tell me that God didn't provide for you when you were in need. You can't tell me that he's a great God and then you worried about what you're going to lose or worried about what you lost. You can't tell me that he's all powerful and yet you're depressed about something that's going on in your life. No, there is no variations or shadow in him. It's only one version of God. We have to understand that he is our example.
Thank you,
of giving. Look at the comparison. Mm-hmm. He says, if your baby asks for bread, he said, would you give him a stone? Come on, you can answer the question out loud. No, I would not. If your child came to you and your child asked you for a fish, would you give him a snake? We know the answer, no. He says, or if your child asks for an egg, Would you swap out the egg for a scorpion? No, no. And we and we good parents. We good parents. There's not a challenge that our children don't have. You know, that's one thing that we can say about, and that's all of us in here that we can say about our children. The truth is they knew that they were loved, and they knew or know that we are their parents. Now, ain't nobody perfect. You can judge your parent all you want to, but the reality of it is that if they are believers and they are walking with the Lord, the truth is their past has, they're no longer condemned by that. That just like you a new creation in Christ, they are new creation in Christ. And so I'm telling you, and I don't know who I'm talking to, stop holding the negative thing against your parent because of something that they may have done or did not do when you were a child. Listen, you can't go back and they can't go back either. And so because you can't go in reverse, they can't go in reverse. And so guess what? You accept them for who they are today and you move forward with who they are today because your father is still your father and your mother is still your mother despite what you think about them. Amen. You're not going to change that. Amen. And so he's the example. Amen. Of giving. We give our children bread if they ask for bread. We give our children fish if they ask for fish. We give our children an egg if they ask for an egg. And so why would you think in your most difficult moment and time in your life, God would not provide for you what you need? You know, I ain't going to ask God. I'm going to just try to work this out myself. Well, you do that. The reality of it is you're going to keep trying to work it out. And you're going to keep trying to work it out. You're going to keep trying to work it out until you come to the place that you realize you can't work it out no more. And you realize that all the money you thought you had, listen, I say it all the time. Whenever I have the opportunity that God opens up for me to do funerals, homegoing services, I remind people all the time that one day somebody going to drive your car. Somebody going to wear your clothes. Somebody might even sit in your house and eat your food out of your refrigerator. Because when you leave this place, you can take nothing with you. Job said, naked I came in this world. And he said, when I leave here, I'm going to be naked again. And so you got to understand that, listen, you cannot take it with you, but you can be a giver, the kind of person that gives so that God can then give to you. Amen. Amen. I know you don't understand or believe that. But what you've got to understand that whenever you give, whether it is to your church, whether it is to a person in need, whether it is to your cause or program that you believe in, wherever you give, you are acknowledging God as the source that provides everything for you. Amen. I'm telling you, it's the truth. Amen. And ain't no such thing as a believer giving their last. I want to help somebody this morning. It ain't no such thing as you saying, well, this is my last and I need gas. There ain't no such thing. Because when you understand that God is the provision, that God is the provider, and you can say, God, I know you're my provision. I'm telling you, God will work things out in a way that you can't foresee it yourself. But when you are faithful and obedient to God, then God will move in your life in a way. I told you before, he's not just passing blessings out like he's Santa Claus. He's looking to see who's going to be faithful to him. He says in Luke chapter 6, verse 38, give, and it will be given to you. Good measure. Oh, you know what good measure is? Good measure is really more than what you need. Glory to God. He says in good measure, you'll never be able to complain about what God gives. He says in good measure, he says pressed down, he says shaken together, and he says running over will be put into your bosom. Listen, for with the same measure, watch this, for with the same measure that you give or that you use, it will be measured, wow, back to you. You ought to shout amen. Amen. Because what the Bible says, if you sow sparingly, you're going to reap sparingly. That's the word. See, if you sow generously, the Bible says that you'll reap. That's the New Testament, that you'll reap generously. And so how can we put ourselves in a position to be able to receive from God? You got to give. Woo! You got to give. You got to give your money. You got to give your resource. You got to give your time. You got to give your talent. Everything that you have belongs to God. And God is saying, I gave this to you, not for you to hoard over it or keep it to yourself. I've given it to you for you to give. And the more you give, the more I'm going to meet that need and exceed it so you can give more. You got to understand that God is into pouring into what is empty. He's not into pouring into what is already full. And some of us are operating like we're already full, that we don't need nothing from God, that we don't need God this. We don't need. And God is saying, I can't really do what I want to do for you because you are keeping everything you have and you're not giving it away. Oh, we're going to kill a devil. See, because you have to understand that your needs don't come first. Help us, Lord Jesus. God's does. And then based on what? Us meeting the responsibility of God, then God meets the responsibility of us. Malachi chapter 3 says, how can a man rob God? Yet you. That's what the prophet, yeah, you have robbed God with tithes and offerings. Now, I don't want to limit it to that because you got a human resource. God strengthens you. He gets you up in the morning. He gives you the faculty of your limbs. And even if you got aches and pains, you're still a resource for God. You are physically a resource for God. And so some people say, well, I'm going to just give my money. No, God wants you. He wants you. He wants you. And I'm telling you, if he really gets you, he going to get your money too. Because you ain't going to see your money as more important than God. If he gets you, he going to get your house. Because you ain't going to see your house as being more important to God. Because everything that you and I have, he's going to make sure the need is met so that we keep it. Because everything that we have, we're using it to bring glory to him by giving. By giving. By giving. You ought not be the only person that get to ride in your car. Amen. If anybody asks you, you ought to be like, I got you. Which way are you going? Why? Because this is God's transportation for me. And so if God gave it to me for transportation to get back and forth to a resource, and then somebody who needs me, who loved Jesus and need some support and need some encouragement, that he just didn't give me this to go back and forth to a resource when I understand that he is the source. Listen, I can take you somewhere and don't need your gas money. We don't like that. We don't want to. I can drive you somewhere and don't need you to tell me, well, don't forget about me. No, because God is going to take care of me, honey. Listen, God, brother, is going to take care of me. And so whatever I do or whatever an individual does that bring God glory, you don't need man to return the favor because God's going to show, he's going to show favor in situations you won't even be able to comprehend. Because he says, I am your provision. God's example of giving and blessing is an action of love. It's an action of love. And so when we give, it's an action of God's love